Thank you, Lord, for this time, knowing that truly this time is not about us and it's all about you, and that's what we want. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will give us the wisdom that we need so that we can live life victoriously. It's your word that truly gives us life. So, Lord, we come with a heart that is totally and fully surrendered to you now. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, if you take a look at your notes today, the title of the sermon is Patience, More Than Just a Virtue. Patience. Hey, come on. More than just a virtue. You know, several days, years ago, on New Year's Day, John Lee and I, we were pretty exhausted. And we decided that for dinner, right, instead of cooking, right, we would have pizza at Papa John's. And so when I got there, right, I found out that they had a special for 2 medium pizzas, right? Buy one, you get one free. And I go, oh, that sounds really good. So I ordered that, and it was pretty busy inside the store as we were there. You know, I realized, man, it might take a long time because there were like 5 or 6 people that were before me. And the guy behind the counter told me that it'd probably be a 15 to 20-minute wait. So I said, okay, that's not too bad. That's about average weight, right, for pizza. So I decided I'll walk outside, and I came back 20 minutes later, and the guy said, oh, still not ready. So I said, okay, I'll still wait. So I waited another 15 minutes, and then I went back to the guy and asked, okay, so are my pizzas ready yet, right? And he says, sir, not yet. You know, for some reason, our oven is working really slow. And so then I kind of go, oh, okay. So I didn't notice that there was this other guy who looked very unhappy and, yeah, kind of angry, right? And he was there before me, and he asked the guy, so how many more minutes? And the guy says, about 15 minutes. And then he angrily says, okay, this is a joke, okay? And he demanded his money back. So I already waited about 45 minutes, so I asked myself, hey, should I do the same thing? You know, just complain, right, and ask for my money back? Or should I just be patient and wait? And I really felt the Lord was telling me, Ben, be nice and wait. I go, okay, Lord. I heard him say that to me. So that I did, and for over an hour of waiting, guess what? It was finally ready. And the guy, he kind of apologized. I'm so sorry, you know, and all that, right? So I just put on a happy face, and I said, oh, don't worry about it. And I wished him a happy new year. And so he then says, I really want you to have this large pizza that the other guy didn't want. And here's the thing. When I finally got home, my family, yeah, they were really starving, but they were happy to see that I had now 3 pizzas, 2 medium and 1 large, and the large one was all the fixings, man. And, well, we didn't finish all the pizza that night, but we had pizza for the next couple of days, all right? You probably have heard someone say, hey, patience is a what? It's a virtue. You know what a virtue is? A virtue is a high moral standard. But you know what? I'm going to say it's more than just a virtue. It is a way of life for the Christian believer. And for the Christian, when we are willing to be patient, guess what we're doing? We're waiting for the very best of God to come forth in our lives. And sometimes when we are unwilling to wait, we may end up with what? Trouble, misery, and a life full of regrets. You know, many years ago, my wife and I, we were doing premarital counseling for couples at this other church that we were attending. And in many situations, we knew that the two people involved were not right for each other. And so either the man or the woman had issues, right, either with an addiction or anger or some emotional problem. So Johnny and I, right, we would advise them to what? Wait, you know. We told them you should receive from some professional counseling before making this decision to get married. We were very honest with them, you know. But too often, they would be what? Impatient. And they would say things like, but you don't understand. I'm getting old. I cannot wait any longer. Or, you know, my biological clock is ticking, okay? That's the female saying that, not the guy, right? But they would say, I can't afford to what? To wait. And so they end up getting married anyway, and now, guess what? After they're married, there is much regret, and there is always fighting and bickering, and they're receiving verbal abuse from each other. And I'm going, man, see? You should have what? You should have waited. And then I've heard of Christians who were impatient, and they had taken jobs, right, that had an ungodly environment and filled with temptations. You know, take for instance this Christian brother, right, who had been out of work for a period of time, and he desperately needed a job. And he was considering to apply for this job as a salesman in this store. Okay, sounds all right, right? Well, this store was Victoria's Secret store, and the position was for women's lingerie. Okay, so the brother asked me, what do you think, Pastor Ben? So I asked him the question, do you think you would be tempted with a job like this, right? And his answer to me, well, Pastor, I'm a guy. Well, what do you think? I said, I go, well, what do you think? He says, I think so. I said, okay, don't take the job then. That's what I told him, right? So here's the thing, right? You would think he wouldn't apply. Well, he did apply, but thank God he didn't get the job. Because after much prayer, you know, he actually got the job that was best suited for him. He decided to wait after that, and he waited for the Lord, and the Lord provided. And we realize, yeah, patience is more than just a virtue. It will really determine how blessed your life will be if it becomes a vital part of your life. It's always your willingness. This is the key word, your willingness to say, Lord, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for an answer from you, and I'm trusting in you. Well, here's the question. Look in your notes. It says, who must we learn to develop our patience with in order to have the most blessed life? Well, look at number one here. It says, with who? Ourselves, okay? And you can often tell if a person is really impatient with him or herself. How? They are usually very hard on themselves, and they may say things like, oh, why am I so stupid, right? You ever seen someone do that? Or why do I keep messing things up? Will I ever get it right? You know, just a little boo-boo, and oh, man, they're so hard on themselves. And you know, when trouble comes upon this person's life, right, that's when they're especially hard on themselves. I want you to look at that verse, Romans 12:12. Can you read that with me? Ready? Go. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And this is what Apostle Paul tells us, you know, because as problems come in a person's life, whether you were the one who created it or not, we must do the very things that are on the left and the right of patient in affliction. Because you notice, right, I bold and italicized that phrase, patient and affliction. Look what's to the left. And to the right, what does it say there? Be joyful in hope, faithful in prayer. So number one, we must be joyfully able to put our hope in God that he will deliver us from our problems. It's more than just putting on a happy face, okay? It's knowing deep in your heart that God is my deliverer. So I'm not going to worry about it, right? I'm going to trust in God. And what's the other one? Faithful in prayer. We must pray without ceasing. Because here's the thing, right? You know, you can say, I believe in God, I trust him, but then, you know, you kind of stop praying. Guess what? You're just going to start doubting again. So when do we stop praying about the problem? Well, guess what? When the problem is gone. Yeah, that's what it means to pray without ceasing, is keep on asking him, keep on believing that God will come through for you, because he will. Remember? God never fails. Amen? So keep on asking. Nothing wrong with that. Just keep on asking. That's what the scriptures tells us to do. Just keep on asking of him. I want you to look at James 1:2-4. Can you read that with me? Ready? Go. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking what? Anything. And no matter how many problems you are facing in your life right now, you know that our Father God is always, everyone say always, always in control. So you know what? You don't need to fret. No need to worry. And as you surrender it over to God, guess what? You're not going to be so hard on yourself as you learn to persevere. What does it mean to persevere? It means to keep on moving forward with God. Because a lot of times people, they experience, you know, problems or whatever it may be. They start to worry. And guess what? Sometimes they're stopped right in their tracks, or they just kind of slow down and they start to doubt. They start to wonder if things are really going to get better. You know, Pastor Charles Swindoll, this is his statement. This is what he says. He says, true patience is waiting without worrying. That's what true patience is. Waiting without what? Worrying. This is the kind of patience that truly pleases God, because guess what? It's telling God that, hey, I really trust in you, so I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to let it bother me. And this is the kind of patience we all must have. I want you to look at what the famous painter Leonardo da Vinci had to say about patience. Just listen to this. This is what Leonardo da Vinci had to say about patience. He says, patience serves as a protection against wrongs as clothes do against cold. For if you put on more clothes as the cold increases, it will have no power to hurt you. Think about that. So in a like manner, you must grow in patience when you meet with great wrongs, and then they will be powerless to vex your mind. Yeah, put on more patience. Can you actually put on more patience? It's like putting on more clothes, right? So think of patience as putting on more clothes of protection over our minds. Think of it like that. And every time a negative thought comes, right, you know, the devil might be right there saying, yeah, you blew it again. Look at you, always making mistakes. You're no good, right? As soon as you hear these kinds of thoughts, you know what you do? You take a deep breath and you tell yourself, relax. No big deal. God is in control. This is how you develop patience. Every time these thoughts start to come, right? It's just like putting clothes. It's like Leonardo da Vinci saying, you put on more clothes, it's not going to harm you, right? You can be real cold, but you just put on 3 sweaters, 4 sweaters, up to 10 sweaters. It's not going to harm you. Put on more patience. You choose. It's something you choose. Don't let the little things of life bother you, because once you start to take those deep breaths and say, God is in control, yeah, when the big things come, guess what? Yeah, you're going to be cool, calm, and you're going to be collected, and you're going to say, hey, no problem. God is in control. The more we can do this, the more we can become patient with ourselves. Amen? Look at number 2 now. It says, with who? Other people. Okay, here's the thing. When we can have the kind of patience that God wants us to have towards others now, we will have a great effect on others that may just soften their hearts. I got to tell you, especially with difficult people. Do you know any difficult people? Okay, right? Difficult people that's always kind of giving you stress and anxiety, okay? Look what it says in Proverbs 25:15. This is the Amplified Version. Read that with me. Ready? Go. By patience and a calm spirit, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft and gentle tongue brace the bone of resistance. Wow. Here's the thing. This ruler, right, could be a ruthless dictator with a very cold heart. You know, there's the one, oh, who's calling the shot, saying, it's got to be done my way, right? But, you know, according to this verse, if we truly possess this supernatural patience that is from God, right, you're going to have a profound effect on him. Well, what makes it a supernatural patience? Well, we know how God is patient with us. He shows a deep love. He shows us His patience in just in the kind of way that we know His patience will always show mercy. I mean, it's the kind of patience that will always let His love flow deep and strong into our lives. And you will know this patience is from God when it matches it, when it matches up with His love. You know, I once read about this pastor's daughter who revealed to her dad how she prayed to God in regards to her husband. You know what her prayer was? She says, "I pray for wisdom to understand my man, love to forgive him, patience for his moods. But Lord, if I pray for strength, I'll probably beat him to death." Amen. Okay, come on. I know the women are laughing. Well, come on now. Not exactly the kind of prayer, right, God would want to hear from us. But, you know, look what it says in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. Can you read? I'm sure you know this scripture. Read it with me. Ready? Go. "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." And love is what? Patient. Love is kind. If you say you have this kind of patience from the Lord, man, it has to be all of these other things. It has to be kind, you know, and it is something where it keeps on loving. You know, I remember reading this Peanuts cartoon strip in which Lucy, right? Lucy is Charlie Brown's sister, right? Comes up to her brother Charlie Brown and does something that is very unusual for her. You know what she says to Charlie Brown? "I love you." Okay? But Charlie Brown keeps responding by saying, "No, you don't." And each time Lucy, you know, she answers a little louder, "Yes, I do. I really love you." Okay, but Charlie Brown, he has been rejected so many times, he keeps on saying, "No, it can't be true." So in the last square, right, Lucy has reached the limit of her patience, and she screams out in a loud voice, "Hey, stupid, I love you." And here's the thing, right? If you know you have the kind of patience that you say is from God, hey, come on, you're not going to call someone stupid. You know what I'm saying? So I want you to read these next verses with me, Ephesians 4, 1 to 3. Ready? Go. "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always what? Be humble and gentle. Be what? Patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace." Wow. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Because of God's love. That's what he's talking about. Because of God's love that is in you. Wow, think about that. Yeah, you should be patient. Well, look what it says in Galatians 6, 9 to 10. Read that with me. Ready? Go. "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith." So, you know, Paul once again says, don't stop. Don't get weary of doing good. Keep on doing what God wants you to do. And this is what will please your Father in heaven. And it says there, when we have the opportunity, yeah, you should do good to everyone, okay? Everyone. Well, even for the unbeliever, right? Yes. Okay, some people read this verse and say, oh, okay, I cannot be nice to the unbeliever then. No, it says especially to those in the family of faith. That means especially, the priority, I believe, right? As Paul says too, it should be your church family, right? But you'll be, you know, good to everyone. That includes the unbeliever. And if we go around showing that we truly have the love of Christ in us, guess what? The world will take notice. And they will realize, yeah, you truly have God in you. You know, there was this teacher. Her name is Miss Thompson. And she taught this student named Teddy Stallard in the fourth grade. And Teddy, he was a slow, unkempt student, right? He was a loner that was shunned by his classmates. You know, the previous year, his mother had died. And what little motivation for school he may have once had was now all gone. And Miss Thompson, you know, she didn't particularly care for Teddy either. But at Christmas time, Teddy brought her a small present. And, you know, her desk was covered with well-wrapped presents from the other children, but Teddy's came in this brown sack. So when she opened it, there was this gaudy rhinestone bracelet with half the stones missing and a bottle of cheap perfume. And so, you know, she kind of looked at that, and, you know, the children began to snicker. But Miss Thompson saw the importance of the moment. She quickly splashed on some of the perfume and she put on the bracelet, pretending that Teddy had given her something so special. And at the end of the day, you know, Teddy worked up enough courage to softly say, "Miss Thompson, I just want to tell you, you smell just like my mother, and her bracelet looks real pretty on you too. I'm glad you like my presence." You know, after Teddy left, Miss Thompson, she got down on her knees. She started to weep, and she prayed for God's forgiveness. And she prayed for God to use her as she sought to not only teach these children, but to love them as well. And you know what? She became a new teacher. And she lovingly and patiently helped students like Teddy. And by the end of the year, he had caught up with most of the students. You know, Miss Thompson didn't hear from Teddy for a long time. And then one day she received this note. You know what the note said? "Dear Miss Thompson." She says, "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know I will be graduating second in my class. Love, Teddy Stallard." Okay, and 4 years later, she got another note. 4 years later now, "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I will be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know. The university has not been easy, but I liked it. Love, Teddy Stallard." Wow. 4 years later, okay, again, "Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stallard, MD. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know. I'm getting married next month. I want you to come and sit where my mother would sit if she were alive." Oh, touching, yeah? "You are the only family I have now. Dad died last year. Love, Teddy Stallard." And it's a true story now. Miss Thompson, she actually went to the wedding and sat where Teddy's mother would have sat because, guess what? She let God use her as an instrument of encouragement, demonstrating God's great love and his patience. Do you see what a little patience can do? It can do wonders. It has to come deep from your heart, though, because that's where we know Jesus is. Amen? All it takes is just a little patience, a little love to help someone get so far in life. Amen. I want you to look at the third point here. Third one, it says, with God. With God. You know, then there are people who say that they really know and love God, but they may question why God is taking so long to come in and help and do something. Because you ever been in a situation like that? You're praying, you say, "Lord, I believe in you, I trust in you," and you're trying to be as patient as you can. But sometimes it just seems like nothing is happening. And if the person is not diligent, right, in spending time in the Word, he may start getting really impatient and start to lose his or her faith. And I've counseled a lot of many people. They were ready to walk away from their relationship with God because they're saying, I don't want to wait anymore, Pastor. I said, no, the Bible says you must wait. It's something the Lord has instructed us to do. You keep on waiting. I want you to look at those scriptures right now. Look what it says here in Psalm 37, 7. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Be still in the presence of the Lord and what? Wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. It's so important. You know, we got to be still. Because often, right, when we are worrying and just getting more and more anxious, we can't be still. Our mind is always thinking of the worst. And we got to be still in the sense we got to just chill out. We just got to sit down and we got to pray and we got to seek the Lord with all of our heart. And let his peace just bring a calm within your spirit. Amen? I want you to look at the next one, Isaiah 40, 30 to 31. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Wow. God will give you strength as you are willing to what? Wait. Because as you wait, guess what? You are still. You are steady. God gives you the calm that you need right at that moment so that as you allow all the worry and anxiety come off of you, guess what? God's strength, his power will come strongly upon your life. And we got to realize, you know, the purposes of God, they often develop slowly because, you know what? His grand designs are never hurried. Something big is about to happen, and you know it's going to happen. Sometimes you got to wait because, you know, it's going to be huge when it comes into fruition, when it comes and shows itself. You got to be willing to wait. We all must be willing to wait. You know, there's this great New England preacher. His name is Philip Brooks, and he was noted for his poise and his quiet manner. At times, however, even he suffered moments of frustration and irritability. You know, one day, a friend saw him feverishly pacing the floor like a caged lion. You ever see a caged lion? It's going back and forth, right? And so his friend asked him, so what's the trouble, Mr. Brooks? You know, he asked him. And the evangelist Brooks, he says, the trouble is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't. That's what he says. Haven't we felt the same way like that many of times? That we want to accomplish so much for God. Say, come on, I want to do this. I want to do that. But God just kind of, da, 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 da. Gotta wait on me, child. But Lord, there's so much lives, there's so much things I needed. Da, 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 da. The Lord says, wait on me, child. Don't get ahead of me. Wait on me. You ever been in a situation like that? I know I've been like that many a times. I go, Lord, come on. And the Lord says, wait on me, Ben. Who knows better, you or me? Well, of course you, Lord. We got to be willing to wait on the Lord. Amen? Don't get ahead of him. Pray and continue to seek him. You feel like you're not getting an answer? Continue to pray and seek after him. Did you know some of the greatest missionaries of Christian history, you know what? They had to put much effort in spreading the seed of God's word. Yet, guess what they had to do? They had to wait, sometimes for an extended period of time, before they actually saw the fruits of their efforts. Now, take for instance, William Carey. Did you know he labored 7 years before the first Hindu convert was brought to Christ in Burma? 7 years. Imagine, he's feverishly preaching the word of God for 7 years, and then one person makes a decision for Christ. Oh, then after that, all started to flood in. Got to be willing to what? Wait. You know, there's this other missionary. His name is Otto Ram Judson. He toiled for 7 years before his faithful preaching was rewarded. A lot of people started to come to Christ for some reason 7 years again. And in Western Africa, it was 14 years before one convert was received into the Christian church. And in New Zealand, it took 9 years. And in Tahiti, it was 16 years before the first harvest of souls began. Wow. You go, oh, how come? Why does God, you know, take so long? Well, only God knows the answer. You just got to wait. Wait for his very best to come. Because remember, God knows much better than we shall ever know. So you might as well just trust in him. He knows what he's doing. And just let him be God. Let God be God. Don't try to be God, because you're going to fail. I'm going to fail. Let him be God. There's only one God, and that's him, our Father in heaven. You know, there's this scholar. His name is Thomas A. Kempis. And he described that kind of patience in these words. Just listen to what he says. Thomas A. Kempis. He says, he deserves not the name of patient who is only willing to suffer as much as he thinks proper and for whom he pleases. The truly patient man asks nothing from whom he suffers, whether his superior, his equal, or his inferior, but from whomever or how much or how often wrong is done to him, he accepts it all as from the hand of God and counts it as gain. So he's saying no matter what, right? We know whatever God gives, it is from his hand. So you know what? Just receive it. Good or bad, you take it as gain. And you say, Lord, I don't understand, you know, why, you know, it's taking so long, or why, you know, I'm getting this instead, or whatever it may be. You're saying, Lord, it's a gain. Because, Lord, you're always in control. I trust in you. And, you know, if we're truly living a life that is pleasing to God, and we're always seeking after his will, I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, we can be assured of one thing. If you're always looking to God for answers, you're always seeking him, right? Even though there are periods of long waiting, right? You can be assured of this very one thing. You know what it is? Look. What it says in that scripture in Lamentations 3:25. Read it with me. Ready? Go. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Wow. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. It tells us, if you're going to wait for him, expect good to come. Okay? To you, at that moment, it may not look very good to you. You go, what? This is not what I asked for. What's up, Lord? What is this? Okay, if you remember this scripture, okay, it may not look good in your eyes at that moment, but according to God, it is all good. Because remember, he is the one that has released it from his hand. See what I'm saying? You must trust in him. Say, Lord, I don't understand, but I don't have to, because you're God and I'm not. So, Lord, whatever will be, will be. Que sera, sera, sera. And you say, God, whatever you want to do, you do it, okay? And when you can really go to God and tell him that and mean it, yeah, he's going to let miracles take place in your life. I want you to look at James 5, 7 to 8. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers or sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge, where is he standing? at the door. Okay. What we must understand, for the person who really knows the heart of Christ, he will know that God is always a lot closer than he thinks he is. Guess what? Perhaps even right at his door. Because, you know, that's the thing. When you know that God, he's all for you, you know, and he's so pleased with how you're living your life. You know, the Bible says, take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. And we know, you know, you hear it, right? A lot of pastors, a lot of teachers are saying, yeah, Jesus could be coming at any moment right now. And by the way, I just want to mention, this Wednesday, we're showing the movie The Coming Convergence. You got to watch that. It talks about, you know, the very fact that the tribulation period is a lot closer than we think. Okay, just come and just let the Holy Spirit speak to you about that. But we realize, you know, how we live life right now, it's very important. And we've got to be able to say, Lord, this life is not my own, it's yours. We got to be prepared for the Lord's coming. Amen? And just know that, you know, he's standing right at the door. That's how close he is. He could be standing right at the door. And if you open the eyes of your heart, you realize, yeah, he's really there. And he's desiring nothing but the very best for your life. Amen? I want you to take a look at the bottom line verses now. You know, here's the thing. Sometimes we may say, you know, it's very difficult for me to be patient with someone right now because what this person had said or done to me really hurt me. But we got to remember, right? It is one of the what? The fruits of the Spirit that must be evident in our lives. Okay? And we know in Galatians 5, 22, 23, it tells us this. Can you read that with me, brothers and sisters? What it says here in 5, 22, 23 of Galatians. Ready? Go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Wait. So where's the word patience? Where? Did you see it? Did we miss it? Well, we know it's in the word, yeah, long-suffering. That's one translation. It says long-suffering. And the literal translation of the word long-suffering comes from two Greek words. We learned this just this past Wednesday in Bible study, right? Long and what? Temper. Long temper, okay? Meaning it takes a long time before someone can make you lose your temper. And it basically means the person who is not easily angered. Long-tempered. You get it? It takes a long time before you can inflict or afflict your temper upon someone, right? And, you know, think about this. Since these are the fruits of the Spirit, we know it comes from God. God possesses these very character traits, all the nine fruits of the Spirit we just mentioned. And guess what? He calls us to do the same, to possess these very fruits of the Spirit. You know, according to this traditional Hebrew story, you know, Abraham of the Bible, right, was sitting outside his tent one evening when he saw an old man, weary from age and journey, coming toward him. And Abraham, he rushed out, he greeted him, and then invited him into his tent. Then he washed the old man's feet and gave him food and drink. And the old man immediately began eating without saying any prayer or blessing over the food. So Abraham asked him, wait a minute, don't you worship God? And the old traveler replied, I worship fire only, and I reverence no other God. That's what the old man said to him. And so when he heard this, right, Abraham, he became terribly upset. He grabbed the old man by the shoulders and threw him out of his tent into the cold night air. Okay? And when the old man had departed, God called to his friend Abraham and asked where the stranger was. And Abraham replied, I forced him out because he did not worship you, Lord. And God answered, you know, Abraham, I have long suffered him for 80 years. Although he dishonors me, could you not endure him just for one night? Wow. Think about that. Here is that scripture that really, I think, will touch your heart. Look what it says there in 2 Peter 3:9. Read it with me. Ready? Go. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is what? Long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. So when it comes to God's long-suffering, who is it towards? Just the believer? Everyone, unbeliever and believers. For the unbeliever, he's waiting for this unbeliever to make a decision to receive his son into their heart. And for the believer, guess what? There are times we're going to keep messing up and messing up and messing up. But we know God, yeah, he possesses what is called long-suffering. In other words, he is going to hold back his temper, right? There's going to come a day, right? If you keep messing up and you think, oh, I can get away with my sin, well, God says, okay, now I'm going to have to discipline, right? But he's going to hold back his anger, because he's not easily angered. He's patient with who? With you and me, yeah, and people in the world. He's waiting. He's hoping that you make a decision to receive him. That is the very mercy and love and patience that is demonstrated by our Father God. And we got to make a decision. Are we going to say, Lord, I'm going to make it right with you? Because you know what? Let me ask you a question. Do you think God's patience can run out on us? Well, he's going to be patient with us. But remember, he's not going to tolerate sin in your life. Don't you understand that? Because he's all righteous. He's almighty. He doesn't want you to think that, okay, I can get away with this. No problem. You know, I'm just going to keep on confessing and repenting. And we just let it become a vicious cycle. Sin, confess, repent. Sin, confess, the same sin repeating over and over and over. Thinking, God's going to keep on forgiving me. Remember, yes, God, he is merciful. And he's so patient, but don't take advantage of him. Realize when we say, Lord, I'm sorry, I blew it. It should be, okay, I sin, I confess, I repent. Lord, help me not to sin. Help me not to repeat that same sin anymore in Jesus' name. That should be your heart. And if you can truly express that to him, God, he will come in. He will take over your life. Amen. And you're going to see how God's power will be so strongly displayed in your life. I want you to go ahead and just bow your head and bow your hearts right now. Let's come before our Father. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. And we realize, Father, you truly are such a loving, patient God. And we know, Lord, we are to live a life of patience, Lord. As you are patient with us, we are to be patient with ourselves and to be patient with others. But we know, Lord, we can't do it without you, Lord. We need your help. And Father, after listening to the message today, Father, I know some of us right here, right now, may be saying, Lord, I definitely need to have more patience, Lord, because sometimes I get easily angered. But Lord, I am now reminded the very fact, Lord, that you are not easily angered towards me. That your love never fails. That your love keeps on running. It doesn't stop. That you're always patient with me because that's how much you really love me. But now you're saying, Lord, please help me to develop the kind of patience you want in me, because I know, Lord, through the word that had been taught today, I know if I can demonstrate your patience in my life, oh, it could affect someone's life dramatically. Father, will you help me so that I can truly demonstrate your love and your patience to others so that they can also make a decision to receive your son, Jesus, into their heart, into their lives. If this is the cry of your heart right now, you say, that's me, Lord. Help me to develop more patience in my life. Can you raise your hand right now and say, that's me, so that I can pray for you? Praise God. Anyone else saying, Lord, help me to have more of your patience in my life? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Praise God. All right. You can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father, you see all the hands that were raised. But most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I'm desperately in need of your help. Because, Father, I want to live my life wholeheartedly devoted to you. And if I'm lacking this very one fruit of the Spirit, Lord, help me, Father, to have an increase of patience in my life so that I can truly love others the way you want me to love. Father, will you just download it right upon my brothers and sisters right now. In Jesus' name, let your Spirit's presence just flow deep and strong right into this very place right now, Father. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let it flow deep and strong, Father, right into the hearts of my brothers and sisters, my heart, Father, that I can demonstrate even greater patience, Lord, to the people all around me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you have started and what you will continue to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I heard people talking about having a relationship with Father God, with his son Jesus. What must I do? How do I get started in something like this? You can start off by praying this simple prayer of simply asking Jesus to come into your heart, that you are to receive him, and that you allow him full access of your life, so that you can live a life that is truly reflective of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are ready, you're saying, yes, Lord, I want you to come in. I want you to show me how to live that most blessed life that you want for all of your children. If this is the cry of your heart, you're saying, yes, Lord, I receive you wholeheartedly. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me. Yes, Lord, I'm saying yes to you. With all of my heart, I'm saying yes to you. Praise God. Anyone else? Yes, Jesus, I receive you. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. I want you to just repeat this prayer after me. Let's pray together as a family. It's professing what we believe about our Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Just repeat these words. Say, Father God, I need you, and I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. I believe in your son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again, and he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, so that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil will know that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him. I live for him only. Father God, I thank you for you have written my name in your Lamb's book of life. And I give you all the praises. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Why don't we